Welcome to Sustainable Talks with NNN, Nicolo Giusti and
Niccolo Duranti,
where we talk about sustainability in the fashion supply chain.
We interview the best players in fashion and challenge them to the real full sustainability.
From material suppliers to factories, designers, sustainable association, and more. We want to make clarity if a fashion can be sustainable or not.
This podcast is sponsored by ourselves and no one else with our time, experience and fun.
We hope you have fun to listen to us and spread the word.
You can find us also in Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn and Twitter.
Just search us as Sustainable Talks with NNN and you will find us.
Have fun!
If I want to start a brand and I want to make sure that my brand is visible in terms of sustainability, what are the three key things I should take in consideration?
I think you could also sum up to one. Main question you should ask yourself is, do we need a new brand actually? What's the value you're going to bring to the market?
Hey, hi everyone, and welcome to this new episode of Sustainable Talks with NNN. A new special guest with us, Silvia Stella Osella, an Italian expert in design and sustainability. She started already in 2009 when nobody were thinking about sustainability, and she has been growing a lot of expertise during these years. She has been working for a textile company where you can learn a lot, as I was working in a tannery. When you work with the material a producer, you really learn what is the good and dark side of the things. And then I would like to start with the question that we always do to everybody, that is, what is sustainability for you, Silvia?
For me, sustainability, I think, is the ability to step back from what you're doing, in my case as a designer, but actually in every field, and try to look at the bigger picture and try to see the impacts that every action has. And when I talk about the impact, it's both positive and negative, not just negative, but try to be a little less human-centric, you know, as a vision, and actually see how much every one of our actions impacts on the people, and the planet, and everyone else that lives with us. That's for me probably what means trying to design in a more sustainable way, at least.
I think this is very original, and I never had something like this. Step back and think about what you are doing and the impact you are doing. I think this is very true, because most of the time we don't have time to think about it. We go too fast. And then when we think about it, it's too late. How do you approach this when you think about sustainable design or circular design?
As you mentioned before, it's actually taking time. I've been working for really huge textile companies, some of the leaders on the market, and I had the chance to work with really big brands from luxury to fast fashion. And it was, of course, a great opportunity to grow and to learn this profession, which I love. But I also had the chance to see with my own eyes or some way of working that weren't aligned to my values. That's why I decided to open my own studio and to try to do my working, but in a different way, with a slower pace. Because, of course, I was running all the time. And that doesn't give you the opportunity to slow down and look at the things you do and look at the impact. Designing consciously, to me, takes time. Takes time to do a proper research, because of course we cannot stop completely designing things for the market, because the market needs new things as the humanity grows, design goes with it. But still, we can do it in a different way. So doing it more slowly and taking time to research what really is meaningful for a specific time, for a specific season, for a specific moment. Like, for example, during the pandemic, the people had different needs. So as a designer, you need to take the time to research and actually put on the market things with a meaning, not something meaningful that will just go to waste after just one use. Research, in my opinion, plays a huge part into conscious design. And it's something that even when I talk to my students at university or I talk with other designers, I rarely find a lot of focus on research, while in my opinion is the biggest part, is what plays the most important part of my work. So everything starts there. Doing a great research makes you produce or design better things.
If I can recap in one maybe commercial word, is like design with purpose, no?
Yes.
Well, if you do a good research part, a good fundament of your house, then you can build on top of it everything.
Of course, even if you think of the fabric choice, or if you have a clear idea of the research you've done and of the outcome of this research, and you know what's the final use and how much it's going to be used and all that, and also you're up to date for what it comes to innovation regarding materials, then you're able to choose the best material for that specific use. While if you don't pay so much attention to research, that doesn't, you know, give the same results.
So do I understand correctly, Silvia, that when you start the design, then you start thinking from the material, or I don't know, from something else?
Actually, everything starts even before. When I study trends, for example, the first thing you look at is how actually is the direction society is going. So in a really macro way. And then you go looking at how this reflects to design. So how human needs are changing. And so how design can move on accordingly to that. So actually, you start doing your research in a really high way, actually on a really wide perspective, sorry. And then you move on to the smaller things and smaller details. So materials, colors, and all that.
Yeah. So you diverge, and then at the end you converge, going through material, color, and eventually design, and so on. Sometimes high fast fashion brand, it looks like they have to prove they are not too bad. So they make a campaign on sustainability and they try to prove it. While high luxury brand, it looks that they seems that they don't have to show that much that they are sustainable. They talk a little bit less. From the eyes of the consumer, probably is not clear. Who is the more sustainable, no? If it's the fast fashion big giant, or if it's the high-end company. How do you see this, Silvia?
Well, there's of course a lot of confusion, because since right now there aren't any laws or regulations about this, there has been quite a few years where interest in sustainability was growing a lot. And brands were rushing to put on a strategy and build their strategies around these words, which were kind of empty, because if you talk about green, eco, conscious, but then there's no one that says to you, no, you cannot actually use that word if you can prove it, you know, then you just build it and people trust you at first, because of course they don't have enough knowledge. And they trust, you know, the fact that if you do use some kind of terms, you can prove it. But then actually, the consciousness of customers is also growing. So greenwashing is now something that people, at least they know what it means, kind of, you know. And so everyone is rushing in another direction and try to check what they can actually do. But at the same time, also laws are changing in some countries. Some huge brands are getting fined for using some word, or for putting out some marketing campaigns that couldn't be, you know, labeled like that. And so, yeah, there's a lot of confusion. And I think in the next few years, things are going to change a lot for fashion. You know, the European strategy for textiles is changing a lot of things. I'm really curious to see how this will shape the fashion market. What I find really interesting right now is the communication strategies of brands that approach this theme as brutal honesty. So just saying, I'm not saying I'm sustainable. I will never be sustainable since I'm putting on the market new products, but this is what I'm doing. I want to get better. These are the data I can show you. And then it's up to you to decide as a consumer, but at least I do my best to do things better. This is the improvement I've done over the years. There are brands like Ganni has been working this direction very well. Some other Ace and Tate. Being honest now, I think it's what pays off, because of course you're not saying what you're not. You're being honest. You show data that you have. You show your areas of improvement, but also you provide data to support that and to communicate that you're gonna do that. You know, so not just I'm gonna be more green before 2025, and then you don't have anything to show about that.
Yeah, it's be honest, be transparent, I think is the key word. And with all your experience during the years, it's good to hear this from you. Also because you probably had a lot of pain making the brand understand what is sustainability and following that is not a marketing strategy, no? Mm-hmm. It's something else. We have heard for a lot of time greenwashing. Now I've heard this term greenhushing. That is the tendency of the brands to do sustainability, but do not talk about it. Mm-hmm. Because probably I think they are not sure of that what they say is sustainable, and then they do, but they keep it for themselves. Do you see also in your expertise this kind of behavior from brands?
Yeah, as you mentioned before, it's something that many luxury brands do, because of course they are the first that could be called out, you know, if doing the wrong steps. So I'm seeing a lot of work by some giants which are working in the right direction. Of course, the bigger you are, and then it's very difficult to change things, you know, from the inside. But then I guess that's a better strategy, because of course you just do things on your own, test what you need to test, instead of, you know, yelling things that you cannot prove. And then maybe later you're going to build a campaign on that. Of course, there's nothing wrong on doing that once you really have changed things, you know. Brands are realizing that people are really, you know, changing in terms of consciousness and knowledge regarding these themes. So
they have to do.
And that's a good sign.
and I think the knowledge, as you just said, it's a very important keyword. There is not much knowledge in sustainability. And that's what we try to do with Sustainable Talks, is also to bring a little bit more awareness as much as possible to the people that are working in the business, but also to the people out there, to really avoid the greenwash. Just open also a sustainable academy where we also talk about that. Shouldn't be a competition to be sustainable. Mm-hmm. It's not I'm more sustainable than you.
Yeah, exactly.
It should be more a collaboration to get all together into a certain level. Then there is always a way you can compete in terms of design, in terms of product market placement, and so on, you know. Mm-hmm. But I would like to take the chance to have you here, Silvia, to ask you also, if I want to start a brand tomorrow and I want to make sure that my brand is visible in terms of sustainability, what are the three key things I should take in consideration?
I think you could also sum up to one, which I think no one even ever talks about, but the main question you should ask yourself is, do we need a new brand, actually? I mean, there's so many brands out there. There's so much goods out there being produced. Why am I producing something new? Why do I feel the need to, you know, to start a new brand? I mean, there's nothing wrong with starting a new brand, but what's the value you're going to bring to the market? Is it because you just want to start a project like that? Or is it because you find that the market has a need that hasn't been responded to yet? And I think you can sum up everything here, because there are so many brands I work with as a mentor, as an advisor, which never ask this fundamental question at first. And then they end up not knowing where they're going, finding troubles, finding their own identity, and finding troubles communicating, putting out products, while everything actually starts from there. Sustainability, we know, is not a label that you can put on afterwards. But if you want to be sustainable, it's something that has to start in your DNA.
I will think about when I start. So I think I will not start a brand right now. We'll wait a while. How do you see the end of life of a product and recyclability of a product? Is there some hope there?
Well, my hopes rely on laws and regulation. Like, again, I'm really curious to see what will change and will happen with the European strategy for textiles. Because if you don't have laws regulating that, then we can, of course, keep inventing things, finding new materials and all that. But until those huge brands which are responsible, you know, for this, those that rely their business model on overproduction, until we don't make them accountable for what they're putting on the market, there's not so much we can do. I mean, there's something that has to be done from the start, you know, from the design process, from the business model. Everything has to be changed, because we cannot keep producing more than we need forever. Laws have to put a stop on that. They have to either putting a tax on every item that goes on the market, making the brands accountable for the end of life of their products. I mean, there's something that has to do, but we have to ask especially those big brands to be responsible for what they produce, because there's no other way, in my opinion.
Do you see a timeline on when we can have a first clear regulation? Probably will not be the last one.
It's really hard to say. And the most difficult thing is putting together different states with different laws. And so that's why I'm hopeful for the European strategy, because at least we'll have one regulation for the whole European community. And still, it's going to be difficult because you're going to have the US outside of that and China and Asia outside of that. So that's not going to make things super easy. But at least it's a starting point, you know. I really hope that we're going to see something by the next 2 or 3 years. I really hope so. But then who knows? One, you have the laws, but then you have the states that have to apply those laws. So it's tricky.
Is there something else that you think the fashion industry should really do act now?
We have to reduce extremely the goods that are put on the market, because that's the main problem. I mean, overproduction is the main problem. So we can talk for hours about innovative materials and all that, but overproduction is still the problem. So there's not need for so much products out there. And it's and when you really see the Atacama Desert or Ghana shores, it's heartbreaking. And as a designer, even if I'm very positive, you know, as a person, as my approach, I try to give solutions and not only focus on problems, but try to, you know, be proactive and see a brighter future. Then when you see those images, it's really, really hard, you know, to go on thinking how else you can change, because everything has to be changed radically. And overproduction, I have to say, is the main issue. So until this doesn't change, there's not much we can do. I mean, education should be the key in schools, in growing a new generation, which we know Gen Z is really active in this, but it's actually split in two, because we always hear, well, Gen Z is super active in environmental issues. Yes, of course, but it's also split in two.
It's exactly true what you say. You see certain students very passionate about the topic, that they really look into detail, and you cannot say something wrong to them because they will spot you. But they are still a small percentage of the class. They are maybe that 20%, while eventually should come also for a more broader education, from a primary education.
Yeah, exactly.
It was really amazing to have you here until now. And I just would like to give you the last few minutes if you want to add something, or also if you want to share something about the work you're doing, because I think it's also very, very exciting.
I will go back to university to teach. This is something I really love. I have many active projects with brands, small or big, which actually want to change things, either innovative startups or brands that want to make a shift. And that's something that I love and I truly want to keep doing. I try to share as much as possible on my social media, my work, or highlight interesting brands out there or associations that do things in a really good way. And also my focus has always been the mixture between ethics and aesthetics, because of course I think great design takes in consideration both, you know, so something has to be super sustainable, but also has to be nice. Otherwise, probably there's no point in putting it on the market.
I've heard this actually yesterday. I don't know if it was one interview from you, but they were saying there is not more unsustainable thing that a thing that nobody wants.
Yeah, that was me.
Okay, yeah, exactly. I love that. I remember that.
Yeah. And that again goes back to the research part I mentioned before, because if you don't do the proper research, you end up putting on the market things that no one wants. And what's more unsustainable than that? Something that no one wants, that's not useful, that's not good for that specific time of the year of the human evolution I truly believe in.
So we close the circle here, Silvia,
exactly.
and then thanks a lot. So let's do things with purpose, think about, and don't do things that is not needed. If you like this episode and you would like to learn more about fashion and sustainability, check out the Sustainable Academy, a community of people like me and like you that like fashion and sustainability and they want to clean the greenwash. Sustainableacademy.org.